Take your Bibles now, and I invite you to turn to Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. We're looking at different topics that we find throughout the book of Proverbs. Many of the topics are repetitious. And he'll say something about a certain topic, and then next chapter he'll repeat something about it, maybe two or three chapters later. But we're trying to look at a variety of these things, a broad-based variety of some of the topics that are covered in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and 18. This verse, of course, is about the subject of pride. Pride is something that we all have to be careful about, all have to deal with, one way or the other. And Proverbs 16, 18 says, it's just a reminder from Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pride goeth before destruction. That is, trouble is going to come and a falling down. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. How many of you believe that's true? Say amen. It's a Bible principle, isn't it? Now look at Proverbs 6, if you will, just a second. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Another place that he deals with it. He says, these six things doth the Lord, H-A-T-E, hate. That's pretty strong, isn't it? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What are those things? He starts out by saying a proud look, then a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, so on and so forth. The first thing he mentions is a proud look. Folks, the Bible says God hates, absolutely hates, pride and a proud look. God is not pleased with that. And so it would behoove us to see what the Bible has to say about it. And this, of course, is one of the things that God says he hates, along with those other six very, very important things that he looks at. The first sin that we know anything much about was Lucifer when he was in heaven. And what was that sin? What was it? Pride. Isaiah reminds us that it was pride that got Lucifer, the high angel, kicked out of heaven. So it must be a bad thing, right? Pride. God hates it. He doesn't like it. It is also a sign of the last days. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All of that is in there together, but right in the middle of it is the word proud. It's a sign of the times, the last days. Now, what does pride do? Let me remind you of a few things that are not good that pride does in our lives, and we have to therefore fight it and be aware of it and be geared with some bullets in our gun, some scriptures to deal with what pride is and when the devil tries to bring us to the place of being proud. The first thing I notice about it is that pride is something that Christians will use, or it would cause Christians to conform to the world system. Pride. That's why so many of them do it. The world system, the world's lifestyle. Listen to the Word of God. 1 John 2:15, 16. Now here's what God tells us as his children. Listen to it carefully because it's important. The first thing he says is love not the world. Love not the world, that is the world system, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, very simply he says, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, watch it here, the third thing, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These three things are things that are of this world. And remember, God says, love not the world. Don't love these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Don't love those things. That's loving the world. And he's told us not to do that. Now here's what happens to a lot of Christians. Christians want to be accepted. You know why that is? It's pride. That's why our teenagers have problems with peer pressure. It's pride. I went through it when I was a teenager. Probably you did too. I don't know if I can remember quite that far back all the details of it, but I know that that was part of it. And it's even, I believe, amplified much more today than it was in our day. Much, much more. I think that the worst things we had to worry about were chewing gum in school and spit wads. That's about it. But now it's a whole lot more than that. They carry guns to school if they can get by with it. But I'm just saying that we like acceptance. And that's why some women dress immodestly. Because they want to be accepted. They want to be noticed. They want the men to notice them. And women, you're not kidding anybody when you dress that way. You're just advertising to everybody who you really are down in your heart. And the reason is attention, and that's based on pride. A lot of Christians begin to socialize, and they start social drinking because they want to be accepted. They don't want to be called prudes. They don't want to be called Holy Joes or Holy Janes. They want to be accepted. And so their pride allows them to do that. And a lot of that has to do, they begin to compromise for material status. In order to get the things they want to get so that people will notice them, they think, they'll begin to compromise and do those things. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll start social drinking in order to get the sale, do that kind of thing because of that. The same reason that some women and men get involved in affairs. They get involved in extramarital affairs, and somebody shows them a little attention. And the woman begins to say, well, you know, he's noticing me. He must think I'm good looking, and he must desire me. And it's all based on pride. Look at me. Man, he wants me. He needs me. He likes me. And that begins to center into it. And the other way around can be the man too. So much of that is based on pride. It goes back to the devil. It goes back to a basic problem that we all have. And as I mentioned about youth, whether it's drugs or sex or whatever it may be, all of that has a lot to do with just not wanting to be rejected. So pride causes Christians to conform to the world system, and it's a horrible and pitiful sin in our lives. Secondly, pride causes people to get into too much debt. Pride causes people to get into too much debt. I like to listen to a guy on the radio called Dave Ramsey. How many of you have heard him? If you hadn't heard him, you ought to listen to him. And if you can, one of these days we're going to have that deal here. Some of our couples are taking that now 13 weeks, and they're doing it in the home of one of our families. But we're going to bring it into the church someday because I like what the man has to say. And he really deals with the nitty-gritty of it. He gets right down to the brass tacks. He doesn't fool around with anybody. He's a little crude sometimes. He might not be like Independent Baptist, but you got to understand that he's a United Methodist, all right, or Methodist. So he might get a little crude once in a while. But he at least gives the good principles, biblical principles, that if people go by them. And one of the things he deals with is the reason so many couples get in a mess is pride. They'll begin to buy things they shouldn't buy do things they shouldn't do because of that. Will Rogers said this, most people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. Isn't that the truth sometimes? Or I would add this, people that don't even care. You ever notice, you know, you get a new car or something like that, and you think somebody's going to brag on it and really say, I mean, they won't even notice it, or they don't, it's not a big deal to them. It's more of a big deal to the person trying to earn that pride position. But that is so true so many times, and pride causes a lot of young couples and older couples to get in debt. And a lot of times they'll buy a car that they can't afford. Most of us probably have done that at least once in our lifetime. Most of us. Surely that was enough to teach us that we shouldn't do that. Once you know, it doesn't take long till that new car smell begins to smell like a bank payment book. Amen? And the new car smell goes away pretty quickly. One of the worst investments in the world, many times, depending on the situation, is a car. And yet, we've got to have it. We've got to keep up with our relatives and houses. Look at the people that are defaulting on homes right now. Why? They bought way over their head, thinking it was going to bring them prestige and happiness, and the kinfolks were going to like it, and so on and so forth. And that's a bunch of baloney. That's from hell. That's from the devil. That'll get you in trouble. We don't have to have those things. And I know young couples don't like to hear this, but I'm telling you, they want it as soon as they get married. They want what it took most of us 30, 40 years to ever even get close to, and still don't have it. And I believe they need to listen a little bit. You know, there was a great king or a king in the Bible didn't listen to the older people. He listened to the younger advisors, and he really led Israel into a lot of trouble. Sometimes the gray hair is not all bad, you know. But I know that there are couples working two and three jobs just to keep up with their house payments and those things. They ought to sell the house and get a smaller house, sell the vehicle, and so many times they're over under in it. And it all goes back to pride, 99% of it, to pride. And then pride causes contention and strife, according to the Bible. It causes contention and strife. Proverbs 13:10, listen to it now. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, God's either right or wrong, and he's right. Amen? Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. He's simply saying that if there's friction and contention, the root cause of it is pride. Now, I'm going to preach next Wednesday night, or I guess I'm preaching here next Wednesday night. I have to look at the calendar and see, but I'm going to preach on strife. But basically, it all goes back to pride. Pride is the problem. And so pride causes contention. Maybe at work. Well, he got the job I think I should have gotten. Or they got the job, and so I'm going to be mad and quit and leave the company and go somewhere else. I've known some guys that did that, and they would to the Lord, they had never done that. Because of pride, they got mad about the whole situation. I know in churches that happens. It happens in church staffs. I've had that happen among my church staff. They'd get crossways with each other. Let me tell you why that happens. Pride. Bottom line, pride. Something from the very pit of hell. Well, we hear church members saying, well, I didn't get to sing enough. Or they didn't recognize me. Or he didn't speak to me. He spoke to her, but he didn't speak to me. Sometimes you need to give me time to get to you. I'm speaking to them now, and I need to have a little time to get to you. Just wait a minute, and I'll get to you. And if I don't, forgive me. Amen? You try it sometimes. See how well you do. But There's a lot of contention and strife that comes from pride. Youth departments get to fighting each other. You know why? Pride. Somebody gets crossways, some boy gets somebody else's girlfriend, and boy, it slaps their pride, and they're mad, and they get their little contingent of young people over here, and they get theirs over here, and they're mad at each other. Why? Pride. It all comes from the basic foundation of pride. No matter what we may think about it. And same in homes. Many times, guys, we should say, I'm sorry, and we won't say it because of P-R-I-D-E, pride. Many times, ladies, you need to say, I'm sorry, and you won't do it because of pride. And next thing you know, you've got a standoff, and the next thing you know, you're having real problems in the marriage, and the next thing you know, the problems exacerbate, and before you know it, you're separated and headed for a divorce. It all goes back to something called pride. Pride is a terrible, terrible thing. And many times it's jealousy among the siblings in the home and that type thing. It's all based so much on pride. And the reason anybody would be having problems in their home, generally speaking, can be traced right back to pride. Right back to it. And remember who's behind that. God hates pride. He hates it. He hates it when we do that. Then fourthly, pride keeps you from following God's call. Pride keeps some people from following God's call. It may be a person who says, well, I'm afraid I just don't have, I know God called me to preach, but I'm afraid I don't have enough education, so I'm not going to preach. Listen, friend, education is not the criteria for being successful in the ministry. What is criteria is being on your face before God and being doing the best you can and just obeying the Lord and doing what God's called you to do. There are some people who should have gone in the ministry, but because they felt like they were uneducated and somebody might laugh at them, and because of pride, they stayed out of it. And I've talked to some of them who have regretted it later on. I'm doing pretty good making money. I'm making money and I'm not going to sacrifice. I wish I had more time. I can just think of just a lot of illustrations right here. But I can tell you, I've seen people weep and cry because the man was called to preach and he wouldn't go. And the reason he wouldn't go was because he had a hobby and he was making too much money. And he later on lost some of his family members. I know personally some relatives of mine that went through that. And they would to God that they hadn't. They surrendered later on in life. It was too late in many ways. All of their health was about gone and all of that. But I'm telling you, it shouldn't be money or pride that would do that. One time, my wife and I were talking about staff workers and about pastors and getting in the ministry, sacrificing. You see, people criticize you after you've been around a while and you make a decent salary, but they never want to talk about what you did when you were scraping the bottom of the bowl for a number of years, driving an old used car and begging people to work on it if you couldn't work on it, and all of that kind of thing. They forget all of that. They don't, or either they don't really care to hear about it. They really don't. But they can get awful critical if you buy a new car or something, and they say, well, I don't know, you know, preachers ought not have that. Well, it didn't ruin your family doctor, did it? B.R. Lakin used to say he drove a Cadillac, and they'd criticize him, and he'd say, well, it doesn't ruin your family doctor. You still go to him, don't you? Now, I'm not going to buy a Cadillac. You'd never allow that here, I don't think. But if somebody gives me one, I'm going to take it, whether you want me to have it or not. But at any rate, a lot of times, and we were talking about sacrificing, and this staff worker looked at my wife. He said, we don't know anything about that word. He said, we don't know anything. He said, this generation doesn't know anything about the word sacrifice. And I thought, oh, buddy, you got some lessons to learn in your life. I'm telling you, I was telling you about the old car I used to drive. I can remember, honest to God, I had no budget in my youth department. We rolled pennies. I got 3 gallons of gas, put it in the old beat-up 62 used Buick Electra, picked up young people, went to the church, got some people to give me enough money to order some materials, and our youth department grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And one day Jerry Falwell said, would you like to be my youth director? And that was years ago when Jerry was alive, and Jerry was then very, very conservative. But you see, I'm just saying that you've got to learn to sacrifice. And God will bless that. And it's not having things. That's not the issue at all. And it's very, very much more exciting. And I'm talking too much about some of these things, but it's much more exciting not to have those things. I was thinking the other day, I told you about that Buick Electra, but I didn't tell you about the one that somebody gave me. I drove that old thing, and did all of that. But later on in my first church, I remember a guy coming up, a businessman, and he said, "You know, I've got a nice Buick Electra." I remember, it's one of my favorite cars. Any car somebody gives me is one of my favorite cars. And it was a nice car. And I thought, boy, Jerry Brunk has got a nice car. And Jerry said, "But you know what? I'm fixing to buy me new, and I want to give you that one." Man, I'm telling you, I'd been praying for it. I needed a better car. And the last time I saw my old 64 Chevrolet, somebody was running that thing around over in West Virginia. And I know it was the very same one, because I knew about where it went. But at any rate, I'm just saying, God honored sacrifice. And here's some young people say, "Well, if I'm just a missionary, or I'm just a preacher, and I'm not going to make much money, then my parents aren't going to be proud of me." Baloney. If they're not, let them live in their sinful attitude. And let them say, you know, you let God handle your children when they go in the ministry. You don't try to work it all out. That is their God, and their God will take care of them if He's their God at all. He'll do it. He'll take care of them. And why should anybody be ashamed if their child has done that? Say, "Well, I just won't have the same lifestyle." So what? My wife's family, my family had very little money. I didn't inherit anything. My sister got all the money, what money there was, and then called me, wanted me to pay for the headstone. But now, Carolyn's family is wealthy, all of her family said. And we fit in like a square peg in a round hole sometimes. We don't begin to try to keep up. A lot of her family, honestly, they do have a good bit of money compared to us. But that's not a problem. So what? I can tell you one thing, and this is honest truth. I think we're happier than a lot of them. And I know them real well, and don't send them this CD. All right? In fact, sort of get that off of there if you don't mind, if you can. So, just in case. Blackmail is a dirty word. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't hurt to sacrifice. But if you're proud, you will not do it. Same way with other servants. Then pride causes people to look down on others. Pride causes some people to look down on others. Did you know when you're looking down on other people, you cannot look up? Did you get it? Somebody said this: always hold your head up high, but always be sure to keep your nose at a friendly level. I like that. Always hold your head up high. You don't have to go around looking like you're poverty stricken. Hold your head up high, but always, always keep your nose at a friendly level. I know some Christians that don't do that. We need to do that. Philippians 2:3, here's the biblical principle. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's about time we got to live in like the Bible is telling us to live. Get back to the Bible. And then pride will make some people marry outside of God's will. Oh, but he's educated, Mama. He's handsome, Mama. He's going to make a lot of money, Daddy. Yes, well, I have a question for you, sweetheart. What's that? Is he a dedicated Christian? Well, I don't know. You'd be surprised how many young people get involved with somebody like that. They don't even know. I say, well, to people I counsel, is he saved? Well, I don't know. We've never talked about that. I said, oh, you've talked about wedding. You talked about getting married, how many kids you're going to have, what kind of budget you're going to live on, all that. But you've never talked about spiritual things? And then I say, you need to go back and talk about those and then come back and talk to me. Is he saved? Is she saved? Of course, one of the problems may be that the person talking is not saved, but if they are, then they ought to be asking those questions. Oh, but Daddy, she's a knockout. She's beautiful. She's attractive. She's going to have a good degree. She's going to make a lot of money, Daddy. But son, is she saved? Well, I don't know, Dad. Well, actually, be honest with you, no, she's not. Oh, listen, what a mistake. Does she love the Lord? Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you that marrying outside of God's will many times has to do with pride. And people get themselves in a mess. It's not always the first time. Sometimes it's the second time. Sometimes it's senior citizens who marry because of that. Watch out. Be careful. You be sure that your mate, whatever age, is going to be a born-again person who loves the Lord like you. And then pride keeps a Christian from coming to the altar. Now, I understand that physically some people can't bow down here, but they can always sit on the front pews. Some of our people do that. But when God speaks in a service and you have any kind of tinge about going to the altar, you ought to go. I go to fellowship meetings. You don't get to see me. But preachers preach. I get under conviction. Yeah, me. About some things God wants to show me. And I hit the altar. I go down there and weep and cry. I remember one time thinking that one of my professors and a very well-known personality, I looked up and I thought he had gone to the altar. I'd always heard he never would and that he was too proud to do that. Didn't think it was necessary because he had achieved such great spiritual heights. And I thought he had gone to the altar, and tears came in my eyes until the man got up and I realized it wasn't that man after all. I don't know if he ever went to the altar. And that's between him and God, of course. But I'm just saying, I can't believe anybody can stay in a church a long time without at some point needing to just go down and pray. If it's for no other reason but to get on their face and say, "Thank you, Lord. God, I love you, and I just want to come talk to you in front of everybody and just pray." Not for pride's sake, but just to let you know that I love you. Whatever. I just believe that some people say, "Well, what will people think if I go to the altar? They'll think how bad I am, or that I need to rededicate my life." Well, the truth of the matter is, sometimes you do, and I do too. All of us do. People need, the reason they don't come for a public profession in baptism so many times is pride. You know, one of the problems we had, 35 people saved. You know, one of the biggest problems we have is the pride of their parents. Trying to get them, Brother Gillett, going into the homes, talking to their parents, telling them they got saved, and they'll say, "Well, we're so-and-so." And it's almost like they have been offended, and they won't even let them be baptized. Isn't that sad? Won't even let them follow in the will of God for their lives and in obedience. But pride many times, by the way, sometimes it's the reverse of that. Sometimes people go down to the altar because of pride, because they want people to think they're spiritual, because they want to impress, because they want to appear that way. We have to balance that thing out and be very careful that we don't go the wrong way in either direction. But I still believe that pride is underlying problem that keeps anybody from coming to the altar. Now, please, folks, if you have physical problems and so on and so forth, and you know you cannot walk up here to the altar or the front pew, don't feel badly about it. Please don't. I'm just saying, those of us who can and we have the physical ability to do it, then bless the Lord, there are times we ought to do it. When God speaks, I'm not pushing for decisions or anything like that. That's in God's hands. But I do believe many times we quench the Holy Spirit in the invitation time. He speaks to us. He tells us that's right, and we don't do anything about it. And so pride is the reason many times that we don't do it. And then pride keeps people from getting saved. Obviously, we know that. Psalm 10:4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts." Why? Pride of his countenance. That's why a lot of people won't get saved. They are just too proud to say, "I'm lost. I'm a sinner." But you can't get saved until you come to that place. Hosea 7:10, "And the pride of Israel testify to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this." Israel, as a chosen race, symbolic of saved people tonight, when God was dealing with them later on, after they were saved and moving on, and they had failed God, they still wouldn't get right. God had to wipe out a whole generation of them because they were stubborn and would not do that. Now, what's a cure for pride? I'm about to finish up. What's the cure for pride? The answer is humility. That's it. Now, be careful that you don't get proud of your humility. But still, there is humility. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Are we clothed with humility tonight? God says we're to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to whom? To the humble. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's according to the Word of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Let Him take care of that. Our responsibility is to be humble before God. And if he wants to exalt us in any way or promote us, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. If you're not getting promoted, then it's God's not promoting you. If He is, He is. But it's up to Him. But our attitude should be one of gratefulness and thanksgiving. Augustine, who was one of the early church fathers, probably the most outspoken and scholarly men after the Apostle Paul in the early church. And he made this statement. He was asked, what is the first Christian grace? What is the first Christian grace? The thing we need most, in other words. His answer was humility. That was his word. The thing that we need the most and will solve a lot of our problems is humility. Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It all starts with humility. You can't get saved without humility. So that's part of it. Pride causes contempt. Pride causes rejection of God's word. Pride causes rejection of the preacher. Jeremiah 43, 2. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. The truth was, God had sent him, and God was telling him to say that. And they were too stubborn to listen to what the preacher was saying. And they paid dearly for it, because they went into Syrian captivity, 722 B.C. They went into Babylonian captivity, starting out in 606 B.C., 597 B.C., 586 B.C., and they didn't get back in the land until 536 B.C. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. They said, he's weird. He's too straight. He's an oddball. Thank you very much. Beware of pride, folks. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride, God hates. Let's stand. Pride will get us in trouble. Father, thank you that the book is the precious and true book, the Bible. Thank you, dear God, that it instructs us about these issues. And thank you for causing pen down so many of these verses about pride. God, help us to watch pride in our lives. Help us to be very careful about it. Lord, help us to be a people that are humble before Thee. Help us to esteem others better than ourselves. Help us to be like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have you a need tonight? Did God speak to your heart about something in the message? Maybe you need to come to the altar. Let go and let Him have His way. Don't let pride keep you there. It'll do it. It'll surely do it. Oh, I've been saved so many years, preacher. I don't need the altar anymore. Or I'm on staff, or my mate's on staff, or I'm a missionary, or whatever. I don't know. Or I'm the pastor. Let God speak to our hearts. Pride. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody ought to go to the altar every time, and if they don't, it's because of pride. But I guarantee you sometimes it is. It is pride. God speaks to us. God convicts us about something, and we won't deal with it. Pride cometh before destruction. May God help us to come as we sing.